I don't have a Bible reading as such tonight. The last time I was with you, I took three little phrases found in the first chapter of the book of Revelation and dealt with those in the time of prayer. And tonight again, I want to highlight three little phrases found in the book of Genesis. I was reading through the third chapter a number of weeks ago, and my thoughts were drawn to a particular verse that highlights a certain part of the day, and that got me thinking, and I continued to read through the book, and I discovered two more very significant little phrases related to the first one. And so for a time tonight, I want to highlight these three little phrases. They all refer to a certain part of the day. And the way I want to look at it tonight, they all are associated with some kind of fellowship that we have with God. So we're going to look at these three little phrases, and keeping in mind they are identified or associated with different kinds of fellowship God's people have with the Lord. Now, if you turn first of all to Genesis chapter 3 and glance down there at the 8th verse, and there you will find the first little phrase I want to underline. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And there we read in the 8th verse, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." So that's the first little phrase, the cool of the day. And you're saying to me now, what has this got to do with fellowship with God? Well, as you read this little phrase in its context, it has to do with broken fellowship, because Adam and Eve are now sinners and fellowship with God has been broken. You will notice there that they heard the voice of the Lord God. And in the margin of my Bible, it may be the same in your own Bible, over against the word voice is the word sound. They heard the sound, or they heard the noise of the Lord God, obviously indicating the presence of God coming to fellowship with them in the garden. Was it like the wind of the trees? How did they know that the Lord was coming? They sensed that he was near. They sensed that he was coming to meet with them. And Adam became aware of the presence of God in the garden. And when I thought about that, my thoughts then turned to a familiar portion in the New Testament that happened on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. Remember the time when the apostles were gathered there in the upper room? What happened? There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So the sound was indicative of the presence of the Spirit of God come to fill them. So when you think of the first reference here in the book of Genesis chapter 3, the Lord was coming to find his servants. He was coming to seek fellowship with them. But of course, by then, the fellowship was broken. And in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was coming to fill God's servants with power. And there is such an experience as being filled with the Holy Spirit. We read there about the apostles being filled on the day of Pentecost, and on different occasions, these same men who were involved in the service of God had that continuing experience of being filled with the Spirit of God to enable them to testify and to preach and to do the work God called them to do. And we cannot really effectively do the work God has called us to do without that anointing, without that enabling of the Spirit. It's something that we need on a regular basis, that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that word sound appears in theophanies in the Old Testament. I think, for example, of Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9, the word appears about seven different times. Voice. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Now Adam said something when that happened. He said there in verse 10, I was afraid. Now, this is actually the first time fear is mentioned in the Bible. There never was any fear before the fall. But now the fall has happened. And immediately fear fills the hearts of Adam and his wife. Isn't that interesting? No fear before the fall. And ever since the fall, the hearts of men have been filled on numerous occasions with fear. And right across the world at this point of time, due to the pandemic, the hearts of people are filled with fear. There never would have been fear had there not been a fall. But since the fall, there has been fear. And it was because he heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. And that term used there, walking in the garden, means that the Lord was traversing back and forth in the garden looking for Adam. Of course, he knew where he was. No wonder Adam was afraid, because for him and for his wife, it was a day of judgment in the context of the chapter. Fellowship with God was broken. Adam was now a sinner. It's very easy for fellowship with God to be broken. We get our eyes of God, we close our ears to his word, and before we know it, we're wandering, we're going astray. We lose out, go into Bypath Meadow, and then when that happens, it's followed by guilt. We try to hide ourselves away from the Lord, just the way Jonah, when he stepped out of the will of God and he rose up to flee. Where did we find him? We find him down on the sides of the vessel. He doesn't want to be seen by anybody. He's hiding from God. There's fear in his heart. He's feeling guilty now. He's in a mess. And had it not been for the grace of God, we never probably would have heard about Jonah again. But the Lord intervened because he cared for his servant and because he had a work for him to do. And no matter how low we get, and no matter how many a time we digress and fall into Bypath Meadow, the Lord is always willing to come and restore and lift us up and forgive us. If there's a purpose for us in life, the will of God will always be done. And God will take whatever is necessary to get the people of God into that right place with him. He sent out a storm. He cast it out into the Mediterranean Sea to bring them back. Think about the trouble in the sense that God went to restore a backslidden prophet. Fellowship with God was broken. They hid themselves from the presence, or literally from the face of the Lord God. His first instinct was to hide. He felt that guilt, and that's an awful feeling to have. To have that sense of guilt before God. Knowing in our own hearts things are not right with God, that we have grieved him. And sometimes it's hard to get free from that guilt, free from that despair and that bondage. And we continue to get lower and lower. The devil sits on us and we lose our song and we lose our joy. And we may smile on the outside, but the heart may be breaking within. That's a terrible place to be. There's maybe someone here feeling that way. Right now, there's mercy with God. The Lord came seeking after Adam and Eve. The Lord always does, you know. He loves us, and he proves himself over and over and over again. Now, the point is this. When did this all happen? It happened in the cool of the day. Or we could say, in the spirit of the day. Since the Hebrew word for cool is the same as the word spirit. And in the margin of my Bible, it is the breeze, or the wind, or the breath of the day. Obviously, it was towards evening, late in the afternoon, when the cool wind blew. Now, I thought about this for a little time, and I came to this conclusion, right or wrong. The Lord gave Adam and Eve time to think about what they had done. He just didn't come immediately. He allowed them to think for a little time, to think about what they had done. Isn't God marvelous? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he gracious? long-suffering with us. The cool of the day was at evening time. Adam was hiding in the garden among the trees. But you think for a moment of Christ was buried or hidden in the tomb in the garden in the evening time. Adam was hiding among the trees as a consequence of sin. And Christ also was hidden in the tomb as a consequence of sin. He was therefore there to restore what Adam had lost. And I find it very interesting that in the first book of the Old Testament, Christ entered the garden to discover the sinner. In the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 26, Christ entered the garden to deliver the sinner. He came to Eden and he came into Gethsemane, the place of the wine press, on his way to the cross of Calvary, seeking sinners. So the first Adam is associated with a tree. He was hiding behind the tree. The last Adam is also associated with a tree. He was hanging on a tree. And the work he came to accomplish was finished in the evening time. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the cry went up, "It is finished." He finished the work to recover lost sinners from the fall caused by Adam and Eve when they wandered from him and broke their fellowship with God and plunged the whole human race into despair. What a wonderful Savior we have. Glory be to God. And he's our Savior tonight. And we're coming to his throne of heavenly grace. He knows all about us. He knows my shortcomings and my failures, my heartbreak, your heartbreak. He knows you're going astray as he knows my going astray. But he's here to bind broken hearts. He's here to lift us up tonight. He's here to encourage us. He's here to pour in the oil for joy and to restore broken fellowship. So there's the cool of the day, broken fellowship. But then we must move on. If you turn with me just for a moment to the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we'll find here the second little phrase I want to underline, Genesis chapter 18. And the very first verse of the chapter. Notice what it says. And the Lord appeared unto him. Oh, what a meeting this would be tonight if the Lord appeared unto us. If the Lord showed himself unto us in saving power. What a night it would turn out to be. We would go away from the house of God rejoicing in God's goodness and in his mercy. And the Lord appeared unto him. That is Abraham. In the plains of Mamre, and they sat in the tent door, listen to it, in the heat of the day. So this is the second phrase, in the heat of the day. What does this say to us? What is this associated with? What kind of fellowship is identified here? Well, it's blessed fellowship. Abraham sat in the tent door, and right away we see he's a pilgrim. He's a pilgrim bound for glory. He's a pilgrim going home. And like us tonight, we're pilgrims. Bound for glory. The world was not his home and the world is not our home. It was high noon. And this refers to the hottest part of the day, especially when heat was very oppressive and the air in the tent would have been sultry. And he sat in the shade outside. In verse 8, the meal is spread under a tree. Both Adam and Abraham are therefore associated with trees. It was the time when Orientals rest from their labor and have their dinner. He was probably meditating. He was having blessed fellowship with God in the heat of the day. And in the heat of our battles, child of God, we have the privilege of fellowshipping with him. No matter what the burden may be, no matter what the care may be, there's always the joy and the privilege of fellowshipping, meditating upon the Lord. Now, Abraham had a period of broken fellowship. You come to the end of chapter 16 and he's 86 years of age. And then you cross over into the next chapter, chapter 17, and he's 99 years of age. Nothing is recorded in between. So there's 13 missing years, 13 wasted years, 13 lost years of broken fellowship. He had sinned. He had run ahead of God. He had brought Hagar out of Egypt. He had gone into Hagar. She had a son by him. That wasn't the will of God. The will of God was for Sarah to have a child by her husband Abraham, whose name was Isaac, meaning laughter. So after a long wait, God gave him something to laugh about. God gave him something to be joyful in, a gracious visitation. But you can see between these two chapters, 13 long years of barrenness, broken fellowship. And then the broken fellowship comes to an end when the Lord appears unto him again and the Lord speaks to him again. It was the Lord who appeared unto him in verse 1. This was a special visit in the heat of the day. Have you had this of late? All the wheels have come off your chariot. Praying has been difficult during the lockdown. You haven't been able to get to church the way you have been used to getting to church, and you can't just do the things that you would love to do. You can't have fellowship with your neighbours and in the church and so on. And Bible reading has been tough, and the heavens have appeared as brass. You can't seem to get through to God in prayer. And you're in the battle in the heat of the day. And here's this man, it was the heat of the day, and the Lord came to visit him. The Lord came to minister to his need. The Lord came to meet him at the point of his need on that occasion. It was a special visit in the heat of the day. The Lord had revealed his promise to Abraham about what he would do for him. He would give him a son. And here he comes and he repeats his promise. God is always merciful. He gives us promises, and sometimes we don't believe the promise. And yet he comes to repeat the promises time and time and time and time again. As the cool or the wind of the day means eventide in chapter 3. So the heat of the day refers to noon, and the Lord appeared unto him. Now, he did not recognize him right away, I believe. He didn't recognize him just right away. And God draws near to those who obey and think about him. But he was meditating, you see. He was thinking about the Lord. And the Lord came to the one who was thinking about him, who was seeking to obey him, who sought to get into the place of fellowship with God. And you can see, to begin with, he sat. And do we not have here a picture of the believer? A picture of you and a picture of me. He's sitting. What does that suggest? Well, I'm up here standing. I'm doing all the work here tonight, and you're sitting down. You're resting. And so we see Abraham, and he's meditating, and he's sitting. He's resting. You apply that to every child of God. We're resting in Christ. He is our rest. He is our Sabaoth. We rest in him. And then thy great name we go. And then there's something more. He's seeing Christ. In verse 2, he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And the one who appeared, the one who stands out here, the most important of the three men, was Christ. It's a Christophany. So he's resting. He's seated. He's resting in Christ. And then he's seen Christ, and then he begins to speak to Christ, and he said, my God. That's how I know it was Christ. He refers to this visitor, this one visitor in particular, as my God, Christ. And then he's serving. We see him running to get the fatted calf and the buttermilk and the scones and everything else. He's giving his very best to the Lord, you see. Now, I have mentioned this as the hottest part of the day. Here's a man, 99 years of age, and he's running. His strength has been renewed by the visitation of the Lord. He's on his feet. He's running. He's delighting himself in the Lord. He's preparing a place for the Lord under the tree. And there he gives pride of place to his guest. He's giving pride of place to Christ. Come and dine with me. Come and enjoy the fruits of my labors here. What the Lord has given to me, I'm giving it back to him. Come and dine with me. Oh, what a wonderful feast that must have been in the presence of Christ, seeing Christ, speaking to Christ, serving Christ, sitting there in his presence, enjoying the presence of Christ. Maybe sit tonight at his feet, maybe speak to him in prayer. Don't be afraid to pray. Don't be embarrassed to pray. Enter in. If the Spirit of God touches your heart, pray. Enter in. Enjoy the blessing of God. We need to be praying in these times. God help us. Here is blessed fellowship. Oh, to enjoy blessed fellowship here tonight at the throne of heavenly grace. So there's broken fellowship, the cool of the day. There is this blessed fellowship, the heat of the day. And then we've got to move on. Our time is swiftly going away from me. Genesis chapter 32. And if you can find verse 24. Genesis 32, verse 24. Notice what it says here, 24th verse of chapter 32. And Jacob was left alone. He's all alone. There wrestled a man with him. Christ is here. Until, listen for it, the breaking of the day. Now, what kind of fellowship is identified with this particular part of the day? Well, as far as I'm concerned, it was beneficial fellowship, and I'll come to that just in a moment. Jacob has been away for 20 years. The time between his experience with God at Bethel, that was a memorable experience, and his encounter with God at Jabbok. And this is the second of two great crises in his life. The first was at Bethel, in chapter 28 of Genesis, and the second was at Jabbok, in chapter 32. Now think about it for a moment. I'm just giving you food for Bible study, for yourself. I would like you to develop this in your own private devotions, in your own private study. These are just a few things I'm throwing out for you, to help you study. And when you begin to study the Word like this, it's unbelievable the things, the treasures you find. You go to the seashore, you pick up these wonderful pebbles and so on. And when you come to study the Book of God like this, it's amazing just the little nuggets and the precious stones you find along the pathway in the Scriptures. Little nuggets to thrill your soul. At Bethel, Jacob saw what? He saw a ladder. And Jesus Christ in John 1 identifies himself as that ladder because he bridges the gap between man and God. You see that? He's the only way to God. We know that. That's clear. At Jabbok, he saw the Lord because he met with a man, and that man is Christ. So he sees a ladder that points us to Christ, and then he sees a man. He sees the Lord. At Bethel, he became a believing man. I do believe that was the time of his conversion. At Jabbok, he became a broken man because God touched him and broke him. And after that experience, he never really did anything for 20 years. He continued on being a little bit twisted and so on. But then the time came when God broke him. He came from Bethel with a spring and a step. Now, there's something I just want to show you here. If you glance there at chapter 29 and verse 1, after his experience at Bethel, notice the very next thing that we read here in the opening verse of Genesis 29, verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey. Or it could be translated, he lifted up his feet. Now, what does that suggest to you? Well, it suggests this to me. At this point of time, after meeting the Lord, after his conversion, he was like walking on air. He left with a spring in his step. Now, think about that. He came from Jabbok with a limp in his walk. So when he has the conversion experience, he lifts up his feet. He's like walking in air. He's had a burden lifted. He's been saved by grace. Then 20 years later, as he moves away from Jabbok, Peniel, he moves away with a limp, and he limps for the rest of his day. God touched him, you see. God broke him. And thereafter, Jacob was never the same, because God met with him and touched him. At Bethel, he discovered the truth of salvation. At Jabbok, he discovered the truth of sanctification. Of course, we know sanctification is progressive. It's an ongoing thing. It continues all the way through life until the Lord comes or takes us home, and then we're glorified, and it will be perfect at then, complete at then. Hallelujah. There's a better day coming for us, you know, when we will be changed. What happened at Bethel took care of his beliefs, and what took place at Jabbok took care of his behavior. He was the Old Testament prodigal, returning from the far country. He's on his way to Bethel, as God had commanded him. He's returning. He's coming back. Maybe some of us in our hearts need to turn again. Maybe we need to come back. Maybe we've lost ground. We need to come back to the Lord tonight and put things right with him. The night had fallen, and he was all alone when a mysterious stranger appeared. And the man who appeared to him on that occasion, as far as I'm concerned, was the one who appeared to Adam in the cool of the day, and the one who appeared to Abraham in the heat of the day. The man is a pre-incarnate appearing of Christ. For in verse 30, Jacob said, I have seen the face of God. And you can only see the face of God in the face of Jesus Christ, because God is a spirit, and the Holy Spirit, of course, is a spirit, and Christ is the only one of the Trinity who took a literal body and became a man. And when we get home to glory, we will see him in his glorified body, and we'll see God in the person of Jesus Christ. And we're told there wrestled with him a man. This word is translated only twice in the Bible. It means to grapple, to clasp around. It means to get dusty. It's derived from a word meaning dust, translated dust 6 times in the Bible. And here we have the humbling of the man. He's down in the dust. God has been dealing with him. God is breaking him. God brings him right down to the dust. Came to Jabbok means emptying. And this man certainly needed to be emptied. But at the same time, he needed to be filled. He needed to be filled with God's power. God could show Jacob more in the night than he could during the day, it seems. And the man wrestled with Jacob. He wanted something from Jacob. He wanted a confession. And the conflict lasted all night. So we can say it began in the dark, and it continued until the breaking of the day. He was in the darkness, all alone in the dark. Now he's heading towards the light, you see, the daybreak, as this man takes a dealing with him, as Christ meets with him. And the breakthrough came at the breaking of the day. In the margin of my Bible, it's the dawn of the day, when dawn began to break, until dawn. A new day dawned in Jacob's experience. You see that? So simple. A new day was dawning. He came there in the darkness and he left in the light. Maybe you've come tonight and you've come under a cloud. You've had a tough day. You've had a problem in the family, problem in the workplace, a financial difficulty, and you're under a cloud tonight. And you're just too thankful that you came tonight to the prayer meeting. If that's the way you've come, I trust that tonight you'll leave in the light. I trust that that burden will be lifted and God will break through in mighty power. He left in the light. It's interesting that at Bethel, in Genesis 28:11, the sun was set. But at Peniel, in verse 31, the Bible says the sun rose upon him. And his submission to God brought sunshine into his life. He was now walking in the light. You see that? He's walking in the light. Earth is a valley of darkness and gloom. But in a little while, the shadows will flee away, and the brightness of a cloudless day will come, the dawn of eternity. As he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. He halted upon his thigh. He never forgot Peniel. He never forgot the touch of God. And no one can ever forget the touch of God. You can never forget when God comes down and touches you. Matthew Henry said, let a sun shine with a soul that has had communion with God. Now what is it? The cool of the day, broken fellowship. The heat of the day, blessed fellowship. Or the breaking of the day, beneficial fellowship. God touched his life. Everybody could see the next day the change. He was a changed man. And wherever he went, people were asking the question, what has happened to Jacob? You know what he said? God touched me last night. God touched me. Oh, that was beneficial fellowship. God touched him, and people knew, and people could see it. There was a definite change in his walk, you see. That's the point. Your walk will be changed when God touches you and breaks through and gives you a blessing. So I trust that these few thoughts will be beneficial to you. Don't forget the three different times of the day, the cool of the day, the heat of the day, and the breaking of the day. But don't forget broken fellowship, blessed fellowship, and beneficial fellowship. May God be pleased to bless his word. We'll bow for prayer and we'll seek the Lord together. As many as possible joining in, please, as we come now to seek the Lord together in prayer. Let's just bow together. I'll commence and then somebody quite quickly after me, if you would just lead on in prayer. Father, we do thank thee for tonight. We thank thee for these simple illustrations that we have used tonight from the Holy Scriptures. May they prove to be a blessing to all those who have gathered here. And may we enjoy blessed fellowship. And may it prove to be beneficial. Oh God, save us from experiencing broken fellowship. May the Lord visit us here tonight. Teach us how to pray. Give us victory tonight in the place of prayer. Defeat the devil. Touch our hearts and open our mouths to glorify God. And may this prove to be a night to remember when the Holy Spirit will come down among us in power, liberating us, setting us free, and glorifying God in the things we pray for in Jesus' name. Hear us as we pray and do us good for Christ's sake.